morning. This is Lance Kenmore at the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty. I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank our hosts and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how have things been going with you?
Well, the pool's on the ground. It's full, and the deck is almost done.
Very nice. Has somebody jumped in that thing yet and swam around?
We haven't turned on the pump yet.
Okay. Okay, gotcha.
Got a little dirt and leaves in it, but our youngest daughter is graduating later today from Kamiokan, our youngest teenage daughter.
Congratulations.
And last week, I'm out there, you know, sticking posts in the ground and doing joists and... She goes, Dad, is it going to be ready in time for graduation? Because I want to have a graduation pool party. And I'm like, sure, if you bring over your entire graduating class and we'll put them to work as a work party.
Well, yeah, you were definitely very, very close there for sure. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot going on. You know, when we finish up here, I'm going over to Bookwalter. I'm going to do the little 5-mile run there. So if anybody wants to
good
check
with that.
To see what pain and agony looks like later this afternoon, it'll be right over there.
Anybody wants to be on the sides there handing Lance cups of water, keep them going. That'd be real helpful. We appreciate that.
We want to see pictures on Facebook. Yeah,
I will get some pictures out on Facebook. So,
well, 5K?
No, 5 miles. 5 miles, yeah.
Holy
it's going to be...
That's some training, really.
They're calling it the subplot trot, and so, yeah, to come check it out. It'll be great.
5 miles.
So,
impressive.
So we're excited about that, and, you know, everything's been going along good. I just wanted to let the listeners know... Sort of real estate related, but maybe a little off topic here, is I was very fortunate to, and I definitely can't just stress this enough to the listeners, is I went on one of the Hanford public tours this week. On Wednesday, we went out there, and you get on the tour bus, and you take about a 5-hour tour. It takes you out to the B reactor. Mm-hmm. You go through the tank farms. You go by the VIT plant. And you know, it just gives you a tremendous perspective on what's happening in Tri-Cities or what's happening outside of Tri-Cities, outside of the town, that people don't really see. And so, I mean, it's just amazing the history that's out there. I mean, when we talk about that reactor and how it was the first ever, you know, there's a reason why they've turned it into a National Historic Monument, because it was the first ever, you know, operating nuclear reactor that we had here. And just the engineering, the achievement, and how all of that relates to our current community, where this stimulus money is being used, the projects that they have for the next 20 years. And I just can't say enough about that tour. So if you go to the website, it's just hanford.gov. That's hanford.gov. And there is a link right on there for tours. Usually the signups for these are in March, but you can... There are cancellations that come up the rest of this year. They'll run those tours through the end of September.
And they fill up quick.
And they're done. I mean, they fill up the first day. So right now you're kind of checking back, seeing if people will cancel. They don't do waiting lists. So sometimes if you bookmark that page and keep checking back, you might get a chance to get on that tour, one of the cancellations this year. And they're free also. That's another reason that they fill up. And one thing that I really appreciated, I mean, that's a great price.
Free is a good price.
And so we will announce, we'll keep track of this, and on the show next year, we'll definitely announce ahead of time so that people can stay up and get those tour spots. It gives us really good perspective on the type of talent we have here in the community, the engineering that's going on, and I can't just stress enough how many great people we have in this community that are working on those projects. I mean, the brilliance of just the people that we're giving the tour and the minds and the scientists that are working to clean up what's happened out there, it just blew me away. So,
what's the one thing that stands out as the most impactful piece of that tour to you?
You know what? For me, it was just, how important that it was being at the B reactor. And for me, it was how important that moment in time was for our country. And then seeing the power of 50 to 80,000 people coming together to complete one project in 13 months. That's what they, that's when they started building the footings, and then till the time they fired everything up, they did that in 13 months.
Wow.
And so, I mean, it was the amazing, for me, it was just the power of a lot of people.
And that's where the plutonium came
from. What they can do.
From, I believe it was Fat Man.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That came from Hanford.
And even the engineers and scientists out there now, I mean, they laughed about it. They said, you know, I mean, one of them was joking, and he said that he didn't think that they could permit a bathroom facility in 13 months now, much less get it built.
Full-scale nuclear reactor.
You know, so it was just how things have changed and what a difference. But I think it's just the power of teamwork and community, what that community was doing, banding together. And I think a lot of times, you know, we, our community now can focus that same type of energy on the cleanup issue and growing a better community. So, you know, it really gave me a lot of great perspective, even being a lifelong resident. I would especially recommend that for somebody that's been new to our community in the last 5 to 7 years to really see what's out there.
To understand what the area is.
Yeah,
like any other part in the country.
So anyway, I've probably used up enough non-real estate time talking about that, but I think it's important for our community. I think it relates to why our home values have been so good, why our communities continue to grow during this economic downturn, and exactly how that money's being spent. So,
well, it is a tight community. And with the things that you're doing to serve the community with this radio show and the teams that you're building to help the success of our community and help people with all this information, I mean, it's really not that dissimilar.
So I definitely get on there, get signed up for that tour, Hanford.gov. And thanks again, too, for everybody working on that site and working to make, I mean, because really what they're doing is they're working to make our community viable long term, you know, hundreds of years from now. So anyway, thank you for that. And boy, we've got some numbers to go over.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
do we really want to let these numbers out?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they're interesting, but I've always told people I'm here to report and give a little perspective, but things, even when they're good, bad, or indifferent, they are what they are. So all I can do is extrapolate what I think has happened there and give them some perspective.
They need to know the truth.
So when we look at what happened in the month of May for under contract homes, that's homes that went under contract and sold, or a contract got written on them. So our total sales figures for the month of May, it was only 259. And that is a drastically, drastically different number. In fact, if we look back, we reported in April, according to the Tri-City Association of Realtors and the numbers that were released, in April we reported 529. And May, it was 259. So we are talking over a 50% decrease. Now, if we look back in our statistics, you can't find a month-to-month 50% decrease, even back to like 07.
Wow.
So that's a major number. It's not just a slowdown or a hiccup. I mean, this is a kick in the gut type number. And so we start to look at, I think I can extrapolate pretty much what a large portion of this is. And we've been talking about for months, and that is how much of an impact the tax credits were having. Mm-hmm. The first time home buyer tax credits and the move up tax credits. And also when you have a month like April, which is the last month people could take advantage of that, plus a healthy spring market, you are going to have a lot of sales.
Yes.
And so I think what we had happening here was a very, very inflated month, you know, in a great time of year. And then followed by an ending of those tax credits. And May, when we look back, traditionally May can be a little bit slower month because people are trying to finish up school. The kids are trying to make that final push. You know, they're not thinking about moving yet, you know, or changing schools. And so there can be a little bit of a seasonal slowdown. But I can't call that a seasonal slowdown and feel good about it. So,
well, and another thing is, too, is that you have to look at the numbers January, February, March, and April. That also took a tremendous amount of inventory off the market.
That's exactly right. In fact,
when you hit it that hard, I mean, yeah. Your supply just goes.
That's exactly right. And in fact, we're still hanging in there right at the 1,000 mark. It's like 1,034 to be exact was the number they released. So there is, we were there for a while. I mean, yeah, we were just pounding away at that. And it was, it was been a sprint. I mean, first quarter's been a sprint. We've talked about that. So the big thing is just that when something major like that happens, we like to report it so people know what's going on. If things continue strong, then we'll see that number jump back up a little bit, in June, July. But the biggest thing is that we're watching it because there can be an anomaly and even crazy things can happen. I mean, look at the world. I mean, we've seen crazy things happen. Yeah. but the biggest thing is that we're keeping an eye on that, and whether we're looking at an anomaly or to the next 2 or 3 months, we're seeing a trend one way or another. That's what we're going to report here. So we're going to chalk it up for tax credits today. I'll keep
Who
a close.
Knows what it's going to be down the road.
I'll keep a
I hope
close.
They come up with something to
we'll,
get this.
We'll keep
going
a close
again.
Look on things. We've still been extremely busy. Our numbers definitely did not drop off 50%. So we've still been staying very busy. There's definitely a lot of people looking. But those are the numbers. So that's what we're reporting. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to figure out how to price property.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Is that what is the average sales price? Were these mostly new home buyers or were these move-up buyers? Or can you extrapolate from these numbers what ranges the people were buying homes in? Were these the high-end homes? Were these the starter homes?
Well, it's hard to look at that and know for sure, but the majority of it, the lion's share of that was 200,000 and below.
Okay.
Still driving the market, and a lot of those were first-time home buyers. So, I mean, we were definitely churning through a lot of first-time home buyers.
Well, and they had to contract by the end of April, close by the end of June, so I would imagine that we're going to have a strong June closing month.
Exactly right. In fact, the sold numbers stayed right in there, 351 in April,
okay,
and then 328 in May. So, I mean, they were down a little bit, but okay, not nearly the same. So, those sold numbers that are hard, hard numbers will continue to probably be pretty even. It is next month's sold numbers,
right,
that will look potentially, a little more devastating.
They'll be way out of balance because that's the end.
Because they're going to be following these under contract numbers the next month. So,
exactly.
So that's where we'll really start to see, what do they say, the proof is in the pudding? So we'll really start to see what ends up closing, what doesn't.
Well, and that lags from real estate to mortgage is the real estate side is about 30 days prior to the mortgage closings, and that's
right,
when you get those closed pieces.
Yep. That's
which is why we're crazy right now trying to just keep up with everything that you wrote.
that's exactly right. So we might have had a little bit of a breather and you're still pulling your hair out.
We're trying to get our head back above water. Yeah.
So that's definitely how it goes. But even when numbers like that happen, that's where we look at, how do I price a home? What are we looking at and what are we considering?
Right.
And I've just been getting tons and tons of calls about this. We've been doing tons of analysis right now. And so I just wanted to go over, because sometimes people will call me up or they'll be driving by and they'll see a house or a listing. They'll ask me what the price is and they'll faint on the other end of the phone. And, and they're like, who came up with that? Or how do you price that? Or what happened? So I thought I'd go over, folks, how we price homes, how we feel our process is and where we get our numbers from, and then kind of go from there and then talk about sometimes what happens in an anomaly situation.
That's fantastic. I'm looking forward to learning some of this.
So number one, the first thing that I tell everybody when they call is, I've got to see the house. I really feel, there are people that you will call and they'll say, oh, great, I'll come over and give you a price. Well, I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't like doing that, and I really feel it lacks some diligence that I need to have. There are exceptions to that, but for the most part, the first thing you're going to get from me is, that sounds great, let's set an appointment, and I'll come look at the house. And so, that's the thing. It makes sense. It seems simple, right? I need to see the house to price it, but trust me, in this industry, sometimes that's just not simple.
Well, you do the same thing with a car. You don't price or sell a car without looking under the hood,
exactly,
without looking at the upholstery, without checking the trunk.
That's a great analogy. So mm-hmm. the first thing I do is, and a lot of people ask me, you know, they'll call me up and they'll call from the radio show and stuff, and they'll be like, well, hey, we need to know what it's worth, you know, but I don't want to waste your time, and how much does it cost to have you come out and do that? You know, and I see you kind of chuckling over there, but it's not, I mean, it's not really funny, because the answer to the both questions is, number one is, no, you're not wasting our time. I mean, this is a team approach. You can't make your decision on what you're going to do until I tell you, you know, what I think the market value of your home is. And second, as long as we're doing a team approach and I'm going to be helping you sell your home and stuff, that's never a waste of time. And that's part of what we do. And the second answer to that question is, there is no cost to that. That is my business. That is my business model. And that's part of the service that we provide up front before, you know, we're ever paid for anything. So that is definitely something that we do. We like to advise people to help them, you know, make changes, what they need to paint and that type of stuff.
Yeah, I love that.
Sometimes people might need some time. If you come out and do that and they realize, ooh, we need to make some changes to the house, then they, you know, the initial consultation is free. That way they don't have to, oh, well, we paid this guy $300 to come out here.
That's not how it works.
Not only do we have to paint the house, but we got to give this guy $300. And that's not a good
no. That's
you know,
not
would you rather?
Works.
I mean, think about just business in general. Would you rather pay somebody by the hour to just do kind of a go through the motions, or would you rather pay somebody based on the results you get?
Yeah, that's
results.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. So we come out to the house, schedule a time, I inspect the property, and the first thing I do is I'm like a data collector. I mean, this process is very, very largely scientific, but then there's some art that comes into it that we'll get into later. But the first part is just really scientific. I'm looking at how many beds you have, how many baths you have, what is your true square footage. I need to know improvements that you've made to the house, how those have impacted value and your livability in the house, maybe comfortability. And then there's stuff that I need to talk to you about that I might not be able to see. Maybe the extra insulation in the garage walls that most houses, you know, might not have. Upgraded heating and cooling systems. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the pergola you've added. So all of that is found and taken into effect when I'm there. So that's the scientific part. Now, the artistic part, and one of the reasons that we come and see the house that we start to look at is, what do the neighbors' houses look like? Mm-hmm. You know, and luckily, I mean, not yet. Neighbors are not a protected class, so I can still discriminate against them.
this is good stuff, man. Let it rip. Let it rip on that one.
How you live, you know, how, I mean, if somebody beside you, you know, if there's a foreclosure beside your house, you know, that's going to affect your value. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not tremendously, but maybe sometimes, yes, tremendously. So we're looking to see, you know, and then there's other streets that you drive through where the neighborhood is perfect. You know, people keep their yards perfectly and, you know, they're having a block party and a barbecue. Well, that's going to be something that we consider when we're there.
We had a house across the street from us in our neighborhood that I guess it was a foreclosure. The people just up and moved.
Right.
They just vanished. And I ended up going over and mowing the lawn because I got tired of looking at the jungles of Burma.
Well, and that's exactly.
And it looked like an eyesore.
Yeah.
And now the people that are there have done wonderful things to it. But yeah, that type of thing drives down
your
property
value. And if you were a seller at that point, that would have been a good investment for you to go over and take care of
the
abandoned property's house. Mm-hmm. That would help you because, you know, because that's going to make your property look better.
So John's making his neighborhood phenomenal by putting in a pool and it's incredible. Your neighbors should be loving you and sending you thank you cards.
There you go.
And we're going to put up the barbed wire and claymores so that you can't jump in the pool.
I love it.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
So, and then the next thing we're looking at too is like, what direction does your house face? Which way is the patio orientated? Do you get the shade in the, you know, these are things that buyers are looking for. That's harder to put a price on, but we need to know by looking at the house because it might affect the value.
Mm-hmm.
Once I leave a house, I have my full page of notes. You know, I've been through the house, and then I can start the pricing process. You know, then I'm going back and I'm going into research mode. You know, and this will take usually a day or two after we leave, so that we can do
a
good job.
And you also take into account the paint, the carpets. Have you had animals there?
Exactly.
That's part of
all of that stuff
thing.
Is walking through and then determining what type of condition we're looking at. Then the first thing we look at in the research process, that's our sold data. Is I am looking at, and this is the big portion of our pricing model, is I am looking for homes that are similar to yours. So like if we have a 1500 square foot house, we're not going to compare it to a 2200 square foot house. Mm-hmm. If we have a Rambler, we don't want to compare it to a two story, because you know two stories are generally cheaper to build than a Rambler, so those prices are going to be less. So we're looking to compare, we're looking for a perfect comparable. I mean, if we could find a house a block away with the same number of beds and baths within 20 square foot to square feet, I mean, that's like a perfect comparable. Mm-hmm. So we're looking over the last 4 months, usually, if we can, because that's the best indicator of our market. That's what we use, is the last 4 months, if we can, same square footage, beds, baths, you know, within a mile or two of your home. That is going to be our best comparables.
Now, so you also mentioned sold, too.
Right, sold. These need to be closed and confirmed. And that's huge. And I'm going to get into that a little bit when we come back from the break about the difference between what that means, having comparing to a house that is sold versus what we're going to see happen in the active. So I know we're coming up against a break. We'll talk some more about that pricing when we come back, finish up our model, and just really help people get it right the first time.
Right here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update on News Talk 870. We'll be right back.
Folks, welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about properly pricing your home. We've been talking about a lot, actually. Hanford,
we were talking about Hanford, B-Reactor,
properly pricing,
Batman,
pools, wire.
But we need to talk a little bit about the money now. We've got Mr. Scott Ridgway with Cobalt Mortgage here, definitely our lending expert.
Hey, guys.
Scott, what's going on in the lending markets, and what do you got for us today?
Well, you know what? There's so much going on in the lending markets with compliance and regulatory change. And things tightening up, we're always having clients talk to us about, well, what can I do to get a little bit more buying power out of what my income will support?
Gotcha.
So there's a couple of options there. The most secure loan is really a 30-year fixed rate loan where it's not going to change as far as the interest rate or principal and interest payment. Typically, there's some little things that you can do, like principal reduction modifications and things like that. But they're going to be fixed for the life of the loan. And all the only thing that's going to change really is your taxes and your homeowner's insurance as time goes on. If somebody wants to get a little more buying power out of what their income will support, they can do a couple of things. They can either buy down their interest rate.
Right.
What that means is they're paying additional money to get a lower long-term fixed interest rate. So the best way to find out if that's something that makes sense for you is to find out what the cost of that buy down is, and then divide that by the difference in your monthly payment, and that'll tell you how many months you need to live in that house on that loan to break even on those dollars. So for example, if you're going to spend $1,000 to buy an interest rate down, and it's going to change your payment by $100 a month, then it's going to take you 10 months to break even on that $1,000 investment. Mm-hmm. And if you're planning on living in that property for 3 or 5 or 10 years, you're going to come out way ahead.
Definitely, yeah.
So it's just one of those things where you have to look at, am I making an investment that's going to give me a return versus, let's say it's going to change my payment by $10 a month and my break even is 17 years and I'm on a contract out at Hanford for 5 years.
Not a good idea.
Probably not a good investment.
No.
So that's the kind of stuff we do at Cobalt Mortgage, is we're going to analyze that stuff for you. We're going to give you hard, concrete facts, and we're going to let you make your own educated decision on what's best for you versus trying to tell somebody what to do. And so those are the ways that you can actually gain more buying power by going with a little bit lower interest rate, then it will sometimes for the same payment qualify you for more home loan. So those are things that you can do there. There's also different products like a 5-1 ARM. A 5-1 ARM is fixed for the first 5 years, then it turns into a 1-year adjustable rate mortgage. Let's say that rate is maybe a half a point lower than a fixed rate. Well, if again you're on a contract for 3 years and you know you're going to be in the Tri-Cities in a home for 3 years, you could actually go with a 5-1 arm that's fixed for 5 years without having that worry of the payment changing on you while you're going to be in that home. If that saves you a half a point in interest rate, that may be a product that serves you better than a 30-year fixed loan for the time you're in that house. So again, that's what we're doing, is helping people evaluate what is best for their specific situation.
And that builds, I like how you use that as an example, because it does build a safety net of 2 years in there if you had to sell the house. Mm-hmm. You're not just jamming somebody up right against a hard deadline. I like how a 3-year term. And then worst case scenario, you're giving them 2 extra years so they can get the house sold and then move on and never have to worry about adjusting.
Absolutely. And then if it turns out that they're going to be in this town long term and they get a contract extension and they've decided, you know what, this is a great place, we love the Tri-Cities, we're going to retire here, they can always at that point refinance. Or depending on what the economy is doing and what the 1-year ARM product, if it's tied to a U.S. Treasury bill or something like that, if it's going to remain low for a long time, that still gives them other options that keeps their payment low for the time they're in that house. Or, of course, they can refinance if it makes sense for them at that point.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Wow.
There's definitely some different options out there.
So that's what we do, is we like to ask a lot of questions. We like to find out what are your short and long-term financial goals regarding your home loan. Do you have kids that are going to be going off to college anytime soon? Do you have any retirement options that you're looking at? So that we can make sure we're asking those correct questions to put them into the right loan product for what they're trying to accomplish in their lives.
That's awesome.
Lots of things to consider. And you don't get that by calling an 800 number.
No.
No, I mean, you don't get that by fielding a phone call that says, what's your rate?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You know, I love asking this. And I don't know if I've said this on the show before, but when somebody calls and says, what's your rate? I love to ask them, why is that important to you?
Yeah, what do you need to know?
Mm-hmm. Because the first thing they're going to do is short circuit and say, what do you mean, why is that important to me? But it actually is a very valid question. Why is that important to you? Is it important to have the best rate, the lowest rate, a higher rate, and maybe have some of your costs reduced? Are you going to be in it 2 years, 5 years, 15 years? Are you part of the Dave Ramsey program where he says don't get anything longer than a 15-year loan?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that you need to take into consideration from background to make sure you're listening to what's important to them.
Yeah. No, I love the consultative approach, and that's
just
what we do.
If you're not doing that, if you're a lender out there and you're not doing that, start doing it.
Yeah, no,
wow.
that's fabulous.
Scott just threw it down.
I appreciate that greatly.
That's great.
Well, definitely, that is great.
You just
great
have
stuff
to do the right thing. You have to do the right thing. We're working with people that have done 3 and 4 and 5 loans with us. We're working with people that have done their loans. Now we're doing their children's loans, and that's what's most important to us at Cobalt Mortgage, is making sure we're taking care of our clients today and in the future, and anybody that they know that they feel that they can refer to us, that they're going to get taken care of just the same way we took care of those first individual people.
There you go.
That's what it's about at Cobalt Mortgage.
I like it. So now that you've got us the money, we need to finish pricing this house so the sellers know how to sell it.
Exactly. Perfect.
Before the break, we talked about the importance of solds, looking at the solds in the last 4 months and getting good comparables. The next thing we're going to look at in our analysis is what has happened in the last 30 days that has not officially become a sold. What's gone under contract, similar to the numbers we were talking about earlier on the show. What this does is that gives us a 30-day snapshot of exactly what has sold in the last 30 days. It hasn't closed yet, but you can call the other agents, you can ask them questions, you can talk to them about what's going on, and this lets you know if the market could potentially be trending up or if the market could be trending down. So this now gives us a snapshot of where we can kind of ride that fine line, that artistic line with what we're going to do. The next thing and the last thing that we're going to look at comes down to the actives. Who is your competition? We need to pretend like we're putting your house on the market today, if we're close to that, or tomorrow. And then who are we going to be competing against? Because what happens, and if we're ready to get this house sold, what happens is they're going to contact an agent. They're going to be looking on the internet. They're going to be looking at pictures and Craigslist. And the client's going to come to us, and they're going to have pretty much, with a lot of their own doing, narrowed that list down to 5 or 6. And they're going to be like, Lance, here's the 5 or 6 I'm really interested in. I've weeded out the other 25 that I don't like the pictures. I don't like the location. I don't like the looks. Let's go look at those 5 or 6. And so what I'd like to do as we get really close to pricing is, if we're having a question about where we should be, is then I pretend like I'm a buyer, I'm with a buyer, and I like to look at those last five and then see where your property fits in to that mode. And then we can adjust the price up or down a little bit to make sure you're the winner.
So you're competing against the best comparable homes on the market. It's kind of like a competition.
It is. And if we approach it like a competition and we approach it like a retailer, like we've talked about on previous shows, you're the winner when we sign a purchase and sale contract.
You're going to be one of the five or six homes that everybody wants to look at.
And so a lot of times you have to look at it from the perspective of that other house, that other comparable is either going to sell your home or your home's going to sell their home. Meaning they're going to look at yours, they're going to look at that one, and they're going to say, ooh, that one was so much better than yours, then I'm definitely going to go ahead and put an offer in on this.
Well, and as a seller, you hear that where, oh my gosh, my house was priced a little bit higher and my neighbor over there, doggone it, he just sold his home for $10,000 less than where I am. And where does that put me?
Yeah, and so you've really got to decide, you know, how we're going to make you the winner. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into it, and that, you know, that is a research process that we go through to make our decisions, and then that way we know exactly what's happening in the market, we know what the buyers are comparing to, and then from that point forward is kind of a monitoring process to see where we're at. And there are other factors that can come into play. I mean, there's different price ranges that have longer days in the market. All of that is a consideration. This is just kind of a basic framework that we've gone with, you know.
It's pretty thorough.
So that we could fit. It's thorough.
Extremely thorough. Yeah.
And there's probably, like, you know, now looking back as we're coming up against the end of the show, looking back, I probably could have made this two shows.
Well, we may have to revisit this.
Yeah, and,
this
is super important. Because there are definitely then some things we can talk about for things that are out of the ordinary. What we do as we go to kind of price those really unique properties. Mm-hmm. And then you do have to make some adjustments for those types of properties. But the problem is we can't get too far into adjustments, or you get into dangerous Lance's stomach gets queasy, you know, situations. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure, you know, about what's going on.
Well, and experience is huge here. When you're somebody that looks at two or three homes a month, versus you have a team like the Kenmore team and you are looking at hundreds of homes, you're going to be a lot closer and a lot more familiar to those differences and what the market's doing to them.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, somebody called me the other day because their basement had flooded like three times, and they said, well, Lance, how's this going to affect me on the resale of my house 3 years from now? And I said, you know, and I just offhandedly said, you know, well, it's going to cost you 5% or, you know, or something like that. And he's like, well, how do you know that? And I said,
been there, done that.
I said, well, you know, I don't, but I do, you know, I mean, and so I went back and talked to my insurance friends and talk to some other agents in other markets. And, you know, by the time we were said and done, it was between 5% and 7% with all the research. But, you know, you're right. We get that factor, but we've always got to back it up with research.
Sure.
So
research and doing your homework instead of just throwing a price.
And that's the thing. And we really, you know, we'd like to get it right, and we like to do that. So as we wrap up here, if you're looking for somebody from a research perspective that looks at these numbers and then adds a small artistic approach to it at the end, I would say you're at the right place. So as we end up today, we'll definitely revisit this topic in a couple months, because I think there's about 20 other points I didn't quite get to. We appreciate the 30 minutes that you did give us this week, and I do appreciate all of the calls we got last week. I tell you, just immediately from getting off the air, we had four or five calls. If you do that today, it'll probably hit voicemail, because I will be at that run at Bookwalter running. But after I've gotten done with my pain, I would love to answer those. So please call in. My cell phone, 727-8977. And Scott, how can folks get a hold of you?
You can reach me at Cobalt Mortgage at 737-6004. I'd love to answer any questions or help you get approved and ready to be running around looking at homes with Lance.
The smart way.
Thanks again for tuning in, everybody. We sure appreciate having you as listeners.
Right here on News Talk 870.